The Old Testament lesson for the second Sunday in Lent is written in the book of Genesis, the 32nd chapter. The same night he arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and everything else that he had, and Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day has broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." The sun rose upon him as he passed Penuel, limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the people of Israel do not eat the sinew of the thigh that is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip on the sinew of the thigh. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses.
The epistle is written in St. Paul's letter to the church in Rome, the fifth chapter. "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Blessed are they who observe justice, who do righteousness at all times.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 15th chapter. Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. This is the gospel of the Lord. And Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day has broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. A blessed second Sunday of Lent to all of you, brothers and sisters in Christ. Blessings to you. I have prepared a sermon, dear ones, that I think may be, quite frankly, very challenging for some of you to hear. But for others, though, maybe a whole lot of others, I don't think you'll find it difficult at all. In fact, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about, and I'm confident you'll find great comfort in it. It is all too easy for us to imagine that when life is easy, when everything is going your way, and everything you touch turns to gold, as it were, well, it's all too easy for us to think that the Lord simply must, of necessity, be pleased with you. You couldn't fathom it being any other way. And on the other hand, if you knew that you had sinned and done some terrible evil you were certain would provoke the Lord to anger, well, maybe then you might expect to suffer in some way. But as it is, when you're getting along well in life, or at least well enough, when your conscience is clean, and despite being far from perfect, you know you've still been faithful to the Lord, you can't think of a single reason why you might suddenly find yourself at odds with him. All things considered, you simply have no cause to be concerned that you might suddenly find yourself in a state of contention and conflict with none other than God himself. You couldn't dream of it. And why would you? Well, dear ones, that is all well and good while things are all well and good. But what happens when they're not? What happens when you've been faithful the best way you know how, but everything is still going wrong, no matter what you do? What happens when you have a clean conscience, but you're still suffering, and it's going from bad to worse? Everything you touch turns to ash, and soon it becomes clear that no one but the Lord himself can fix the problems that you've run into. But not only is he not doing that, he also seems completely opposed to you at every turn, heaping more troubles on you, afflicting you bitterly. What then? What then? Well, that gives you a taste of what the ancient patriarch Jacob experienced in our Old Testament lesson. It's also, by the way, what countless other saints have come to know. And when it's all said and done, you may well just become all too familiar with it yourself. Our Old Testament lesson picks up in Genesis 32, and when it does, dear ones, just to refresh your memory, Jacob had already managed to con his older brother Esau out of his birthright as the firstborn son. And this was not just some silly family squabble either, because Esau, as the firstborn son, he was supposed to get, among other things, a double portion of the inheritance. But now, all of that was going to his younger brother instead. And if you've ever been around family fighting over their inheritance, well, you understand a little bit about what kind of problem that was. Maybe that kind of conflict isn't so foreign to you. In any case, as if that wasn't enough, when it comes to family drama, Jacob also managed to deceive their father, Isaac, just before he died, too. The man's eyesight had grown very poor with age, and Jacob went so far as to clothe himself with goat skin, impersonating his hairy older brother at their father's bedside just before he died. And the great blessing that Isaac intended to give to Esau as the eldest son, well, that now went to Jacob too. And as you can imagine, Esau was ready to kill his younger brother, and he was going to do it too. So Jacob had to get out of Dodge. He goes to live way off with his uncle. And after about 20 years go by, the Lord gives Jacob a special command to return to the land he left, the land promised to his fathers. So Jacob sets out to come back. He intends to be faithful to the Lord, but in doing so, Jacob gets word that Esau is on his way to meet him. And by the way, he's bringing 400 grown men with him. Jacob fears for his life. Who wouldn't? Who wouldn't in a situation like that? But think about this for just a minute, dear ones. Look at the predicament that he's in. The Lord himself has commanded him to return. He's also promised Jacob that he would do him good and prosper his offspring. But now Jacob, obeying the Lord's command, trusting his word of promise, means he's now forced to come face to face with his older brother, who's coming right at him with 400 military-aged men. Dear ones, being faithful to the Lord has put Jacob between a rock and a hard place. And some of you know exactly what that's like. Well, Jacob prays to the Lord, as well he should. And in essence, he says, "O Lord, it was you who said to me, 'Return to your country and your kindred. Please deliver me from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him that he may come and attack. You said, I will surely do you good and make your offspring as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered. You said, O Lord.'" Well, after Jacob sends his family and his livestock on ahead of him in the dead of night, and he's left all alone in the darkness, the Lord manifests himself and appears to Jacob there, only he doesn't rush over to comfort him and console him. The Lord doesn't even identify himself. The Lord appeared, as it were, as Luther says, in a form that foreshowed his incarnation. And the next thing he knew, Jacob found himself in a wrestling match with him. Jacob found himself locked in a heated head-to-head struggle with God's pre-incarnate son. And soon Jacob was worn out and tired. He was covered in sweat and dirt. The Lord even dislocates his hip in the contest. And then he's ready to disengage and just leave. But still, Jacob clung to him. Dear ones, like the Canaanite woman in our gospel text, Jacob simply would not let go until our Lord blessed him. And that, brothers and sisters, is a profound image of faith. That's what it looks like to cling to our Lord when the struggle is real, when he tests us with fiery trials, when it's painful and uncomfortable, and when faithfulness to him means facing a crucible out of which there is no easy way. And in all of this, In all of it, we also glimpse what Christ our Lord in the fullness of time would do for us and for our salvation in the struggle he endured, clinging in faith to the Father while facing the crucible of his passion. Look how Jesus, the true Israel, perfectly faithful to God's commands, perfectly trusting his promises, still wrestled with him in Gethsemane and in what followed on from there. Jesus grew tired and weary in the struggle. He sweat great drops of blood in the contest, and despite all the blows he took and the onslaught he faced in the course of his crucifixion, despite our redemption costing him his very life upon the cross, still he clung in faith to the Father until he blessed him. And Christ emerged from the trial and the tomb victorious. Dear ones, let these things preach to you today. Let them show you what it looks like to be faithful to the Lord in the day of trouble, when by all accounts it appears as though it's the Lord himself who's the one who's taken his stand against you and is now wrestling with you. And that's the only way through, wrestling with him in prayer. And you should know that Jacob, for his part, he was blessed by the Lord in the end. And after wrestling with the Lord and being renamed Israel, he went on to meet his older brother face to face, who ended up coming in peace after all. But frankly, it really didn't matter. That didn't matter. Because Israel had the Lord's command and his promise. And by the time he met with his older brother, he had already struggled with one much, much mightier than he. The one who would go on to conquer death and hell for us. Let it be so with you too, dear ones. No matter what you're up against, no matter what you face, step into the arena of prayer. And don't turn away from the contest when it comes. Don't shy away from the struggle with the Lord. Like Jacob, cling to him in faith and don't let go until he blesses you, whether here in this life or in the life to come hereafter. Because the Lord is faithful to his word, and through test and trial, through thick and thin, come what may, it's only by clinging to him in faith that you shall obtain his blessing. And truly blessed in Christ our Lord, you shall surely be. And to Christ be all the glory forever and ever. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. Amen.